Good evening. My name is Bill Callahan. I'm with the Cayucas Sanitary District. I want to welcome everybody to public workshop number 3 for the wastewater treatment plant, Coastal Commission's, or California Coastal Commission Appeal Alternative Site Analysis Workshop. I want to go briefly over tonight's agenda. First of all, talk about the goal of the agenda, and the goal of the workshop is to ensure, and then we'll have closing remarks. So with that, I'm going to hand it off to the DUDEC team.
Good evening. My name is April Wanecki, and as Bill mentioned, I'm the project manager for the alternatives analysis and the Coastal Commission's de novo review process. So just to get started, I think a lot of you are pretty familiar with the project history at this point, but I'm going to revisit a little bit of the past. Of course, in December 2008, we had the settlement agreement with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And in January of this year, the City Council certified the final EIR and approved the coastal development permit for the wastewater treatment upgrade project. Appeals were filed with the Coastal Commission in response to that approval, and in March of this year, the Coastal Commission did find that those appeals raised substantial issue with respect to the project's consistency with the certified LCP and the Coastal Act. In response to the Coastal Commission's direction in those findings that a more thorough alternatives analysis be conducted and additional technical study be conducted, we held 2 public workshops on June 27th and June 28th. Those workshops were held primarily to receive public input on the work plan for conducting the alternatives analysis and additional technical study, to receive additional public input on potential alternative sites to be evaluated in that work plan, and to discuss the proposed screening criteria for what we call the rough screening analysis. On August 25th, we had a very good meeting with Coastal Commission staff to review the work plan with them as well, to also review with them the potential alternative sites that have been identified through the public input up to that point, and as well as to discuss our preliminary results from the fatal flaws analysis, which I'll talk a little bit more about in just a few minutes. And then on September 8th, we had a JPA meeting to present the preliminary recommendations from the draft rough screening analysis. So currently, we're in the kind of right in the middle of the process of the alternative sites analysis and commencing additional technical studies in response to the Coastal Commission's findings on substantial issue. We just wrapped up the draft rough screening analysis, which we'll be talking to you guys a little bit more today. And then as part of that rough screening analysis, as I did mention, we introduced a kind of an interim step, and that was the fatal flaws analysis. That was intended to do kind of a first blush look at the 17 potential alternative sites that had been identified through the public process. Our next steps essentially is preparing for the Coastal Commission's de novo review hearing. It kicks off tonight, essentially, with a phase 2 scope of work, which includes the fine screening analysis. This will consist of a detailed analysis of the 3 sites that have been recommended for fine screening and additional technical studies of those sites. And then concurrent with that, as I mentioned, we will be doing additional LCP and Coastal Act consistency analysis, preparing for that de novo review in front of the Coastal Commission. Inclusive of that, we'll be doing taking a look at water reclamation feasibility findings that are part of this phase 2 scope of work that we're just kicking off, additional coastal hazards assessment, and addressing any other potential policy issues that might come up during the alternatives analysis. Our goal is to shoot for the next local Coastal Commission hearing, which is March and April of 2012, and assuming our work plan proceeds as planned, we should be able to hit that target date. Here's a copy of our work plan, and I don't have a pointer, unfortunately, but essentially you have the upper tier there. That's the phase 1 scope of work. We're just wrapping that up right now and starting with the phase 2 scope of work with this public workshop. That's that big blue arrow pointing to the second yellow box there on the second tier. So just really quickly, we want to talk to you a little bit about the results of the draft rough screening evaluation. We started off with the 8 alternative sites that had been previously identified through the EIR process as well as the Coastal Commission's appeal process. There were 9 additional sites that had been identified through public input. And so a total of 17 sites were looked at the beginning of the draft rough screening analysis. 11 of these were carried forward for rough screening based on the initial fatal flaws assessment. With respect to the fatal flaws assessment, we essentially identified three fatal flaws, and we did this in conjunction with Coastal Commission staff to make sure we were hitting the right policy mark. Those three fatal flaws were identified as prime agricultural land, environmentally sensitive habitat areas and associated buffers, and the 100-year flood zone and or inundation area. Essentially, this resulted in six sites being dismissed outright. Three of those sites were due to prime agricultural lands, and three of those sites were due to the location of the 100-year flood zone and or inundation area. This is basically, this is figure six that's included in the draft REF screening analysis. It's available online if you'd like to take a look at it.
Constrained by the criterion and therefore consistent. And in the report, you'll see that in tables two and three, which are located in sections two and three, you'll see either a plus or a minus sign, and that's kind of what this is going towards. Or if it was constrained and potentially inconsistent with that specific criterion. There were 23 total criterion that were evaluated. And we do acknowledge and do in the report as well that just because the site has a potential constraint on it, we know that there are certain remedies that are available in order to bring the project back into consistency. But for all intents and purposes, we looked at this if there was any potential for additional study or evaluation needed for this first rough cut. Rough cut, it was looked at as constrained. Therefore, the sites with the greatest number of consistent criteria were ultimately ranked above those with the least consistency. And then for those sites, there were a handful that were ranked very close to one another. And so we used very rough order of magnitude economic considerations, which I'll speak to a little bit later on, to help determine which sites would move forward above and beyond as a tiebreaker, if you will. So really quickly, in the environmental and LCP policy criteria evaluation, there were 13 criteria considered. And of those 13, we do provide, we looked at various databases, pre-existing reports, and new evaluation based on adopted policies and regulations. The top-ranked sites are Site 13, which was the power plant hillside tank farm. It was shown to have six consistent criteria. Site 1 was the current wastewater treatment plant site with five consistent criteria. Site 2 is the Chorro Valley site, and that had four consistent. Site 12, the California Men's Colony wastewater facility, had four consistent criteria. And Site 15 was also tied with four consistent criteria, and that's the Chevron facility hillside site. And if anyone has any specific questions or comments to that later on tonight, we do have a board up here that has the, it's been taken from the report, that has the specifics behind how we determine that number of consistency criteria. In regards to logistics and site constraints, there were 10 criteria considered. This goes towards land use designation, zoning designation, various accessibility implementation requirements. And the top-ranked sites, Site 1 was the current wastewater treatment site that had 10 consistent criteria. Site 12, the California Men's Colony, with eight consistent criteria. Site 2 is the Chorro Valley site, was seven, and the Rigetti property, Site 16, was also tied at seven consistent criteria. In regards to Section 5 of the report, which was the engineering constraints and considerations, we had various baseline assumptions that were used in going forward. One is that we were only looking at the siting of the facility, and we weren't looking at the actual treatment technologies in this particular phase. But what we determined is that with a minimum site requirement of 5 acres of contiguous low slope area, which was defined as less than 15% slope, that could accommodate any type of plant and or treatment technology size. We also assume that the existing collection system would remain in service, including the terminus at the existing wastewater treatment plant. So those are all the pipelines that currently lead to the site itself. And then for any alternative site, a new pump station and force main would likely be required. In response to many comments that were received by the public during the first public workshops and also during the public comment period, we did preliminarily and start looking towards assessment of various disposal options. This is Appendix H of the REF screening report. And what we were looking at is the feasibility of various options as it relates to each of these site locations. So the existing ocean outfall was found to be feasible to serve disposal options for any site. Groundwater recharge is found to be most likely infeasible. And again, we haven't completed all this level of analysis. A lot of this is going to be looked at in greater detail in the next few phases. But it was most likely infeasible at all sites due to the underlying aquifer characteristics, and there are a number of drinking wells located in proximity. We did have conversations with the Regional Water Board to help define our assumptions and move forward with this analysis. For live stream discharge, we found that it was potentially feasible at all sites that were near the creeks. And for the sites that we did recommend to go forward to fine screening analysis, they are all located near creeks. And as in regards to various comments that were received on land application, so irrigation, spray irrigation, percolation ponds, constructed wetlands, due to the site area requirements and the underlying soils of all the sites that we assessed, it was found infeasible. We did not use recycle 3 criterion. The sites that had the highest level of consistency criterion were site 1, the current wastewater treatment plant, with 15 consistent criterion, site 15, the Chevron facility hillside site, with 10, and site 16, the Rigetti property. And again, to acknowledge, a lot of these sites were very closely ranked next to one another. So when we looked at the relative economic cost in comparison, we determined that, for instance, 5 was slightly ahead of site 16 when looking at straight costs analysis, and also when looking at straight consistency criterion. But for the overall cost, 16 was moved in advance of, but as a result of comments that we received at the JPA hearing in September, because Site 5 and Site 15 are under common ownership and are located next to one another, we will be combining both of those and moving that forward as part of fine screening evaluation.
What is the JPA hearing?
The JPA hearing was on September 8th, and then there will be another JPA hearing on November 10th. Joint Powers Authority. And just so you know, the public at home won't be able to hear you unless you're up at the microphone, and we will have an open public comment period. So as soon as we get through this presentation, feel free to come up and ask questions or provide comments. This graphic, and we do have this graphic over here in larger format. This is just to let you know we have it here. This is showing in context what sites are being recommended to move forward for fine screening evaluation. And it highlights Site 5, 15, Site 1, and Site 16. And just want to point out, these sites cover range. We have two sites that are in unincorporated county areas. It's 5, 15, and 16, the current sites located in the city, and then 15 straddles the coastal zone boundary. So it's a nicer array of potential locations. And on to kind of the bulk of what we'd like to discuss with you tonight are the potential fine screening analysis criterion. So there was a handout at the front table, and we're looking for your input on these criterion. There are 12 proposed, and we'd like to know, of these 12 criterion, what is most important to you in order to help assist us with weighting as we move forward. There's also on the project website a SurveyMonkey function, so you can go online and also provide, whether you want to provide us with a hard copy or whether you'd like to go online and rank it that way. What we're looking for is from 1 to 12 what you would like us to provide a higher weighting towards. And just to briefly go through these, as far as avoid and minimize environmental impacts and LCP consistency analyses, coastal hazards, so this is in regards to risk of flooding, 100-year storm events, tsunamis, shoreline erosion, sea level rise, and liquefaction. Public access, recreation, and visitor-serving uses. We'll be looking at traffic, parking, land use compatibility, objectionable odors, opportunities to enhance recreation and visitor-serving resources. In regards to visual resources, this is public view sheds, significant landforms, and compatible design. The sustainable use of public resources will be looking at maximizing water reclamation, maximizing treated wastewater disposal options, biosolids treatment and reuse options, and greenhouse gas emissions and energy consumption. In regards to cultural resources, we'll be looking further at recorded archaeological and historical sites. ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat areas, this is water quality and groundwater basin recharge considerations, terrestrial resources and upland plant habitat, and then marine habitat as it relates to the ocean outfall. Agricultural resources and coastal dependent development in regards to the policies within the city and county's adopted LCPs. In regards to project implementation, we'll be looking at maximizing adherence to current NPDES requirements. So this is secondary treatment standards and compliance with the settlement agreement. And then also minimizing project delays from land use approvals. This is your additional infrastructure requirements that may be required to bring the effluent to the site, conveyance system, acquisition of land, regulatory permits and approvals, and any potential for public controversy as it relates to remediation. And then there's economic factors, minimizing capital cost, and in regards to planning, permitting, design, property acquisition, construction, mitigation, renewed maintenance of the existing plant, all of that will be taken into consideration. And then minimizing the comparative life cycle cost over a 20-year time frame. Also to reiterate, all of these criterion will be looked at an equal level of detail for the sites that are being recommended to go forward for fine screening analysis. So again, we're looking to you to help us rank and weight what criterion is most important, and we provided about 25 more detailed responses, so feel free to look through those as well. And with that, I think we'd like to open up the floor to you to provide us with public comments. We will have Bruce over here keeping time, so 3 minutes per person. And again, we'd appreciate any additional comments you'd like to provide in writing. Following the public comment period, we're going to open it up to a format that allows you to come up and speak to us, look at any of the poster boards, ask us additional questions that you may have, and continue the discussion. So with that, do we have any takers?
Evening. Betty Winholtz. I'm wondering if you can justify for us why you kept the current site in the as a pass through to the next level, since it has some of the criteria that you kicked other sites out for. That's one question. Another one is you mentioned about something that I'm going to forget. I know what it is. It's you said in your comments a few minutes ago that the outfall you assumed would be equal for all of the different sites and that they all would have the same outfall. So why is that one of the criteria for the next screening? Thank you.
Good evening, Bill Martini. And I just read the rough draft this morning, so I didn't really fully digest it. But one of the comments I noticed were you were kicking out a lot of sites because they are prime ag or could be potentially prime ag with irrigation. In Los Osos, I believe the current site that's been approved is on prime ag, so I don't know why you would be kicking out some of these sites. The site before that was on Turry Road. I believe it was accepted by the county, last minute. The other was preferable. And Turry Road is highly visual. I know you talked about Site 17, the site that's on the backside of Little Morrow Creek Road as far as being visual from Highway 1. It's totally non-visual. The other thing I thought I'd mention as far as pumping costs, I was figuring out you were kind of doing pluses and minuses on pumping costs. And I did a rough calc on some of these sites that were further inland, and I noticed that the pumping cost, like to Little Morrow Creek Road, was, I believe it was like 1,300 kilowatt hours a day for pumping costs. A $34 million plant, pumping costs came out to about, I think, $185 a day. I don't think pumping costs is a huge ticket item on something this big. You know, between $50 a day and $175, $180 a day to actually put it down the pecking order for pumping costs, I think is not really one of the big criteria. And mainly on getting back to prime ag, if you are actually going to be producing recycled water, you are going to be creating probably 10 times as much as prime ag or ag usage as you would be taking a five-acre site out of use. And some of these hillside sites that you're talking about are not actually prime ag per se. They're grazing land at this point, so I don't think they should be hit as ag ground. Prime ag, just to use an example, Coachella Valley, you can go in the desert. If you pump water, you're going to have prime ag. So the actual recycled water is probably your most important criteria as far as prime ag. But not, again, getting back to it, not to bump some of these sites because they're prime ag, because the Coastal just approved Los Osos, which is prime ag. Thank you.
Hi, my name is David Nelson. I'm from Morro Bay. Sorry, I'm not as informed as I should be. I wish there was more handouts showing, you know, all these sites. I have a question before my comment. You said the power plant tank farm. Now, is that the one they just took down? Is that what you're considering on the sites?
Site 7 is the current power plant, and the power plant tank farm site was Site 13. That was up in the hills above.
Above North Morro Bay, the right. Old tank farm, right?
North.
Right. So it's not actually down by the other power plant.
Yeah. Okay. And we have maps here and are happy to discuss locations.
These.
Yeah, we have large.
Yeah, it's hard to know what you know all these sites are without a chart, to be honest. So I wish I was a little more informed. Are we still just thinking about the one kind of wastewater plant that
addressed? And number one was the tsunami issue, which the Coastal Commission was very aware of, because when they had their hearing in the spring, the tsunami happened the same day as the hearing. So I'm sure they're going to be quite aware of it, and for you not to mention it in your report is very puzzling. And the second thing is the 100-year flood zone map that was used in your report does not appear to agree with the current 100-year flood zone. So do you have a second fatal flaw? One more and you're out. Three. Thank you.
I wasn't planning on speaking. Jim Pauley, Morro Bay. But I get this questionnaire that we're going to fill out. This is a conglomerate of anything and everything. And I think you could simplify it much more than this. And you're going to compare each one equally? That's a joke. So the other thing is, you say, well, it's going to comply with not with a tertiary, just a two-part system. So it really should be tertiary. That's where we want to end up. And the other thing is, you're talking about 20 years? You're going to spend all this money and do all this problem and rebuild it right away? That's crazy. I think this just goes to prove that the staff had developed a position and their intent on jamming that through. And your premises are all wrong, and that's why you're getting all in these cockamamie solutions. The best candidates you excluded or put down on the way down on the line, and I think one is a Chevy property that is a good one. And nobody wants to use the beach there, the beach frontage. We might want to put a pipe underneath it out, but you're not going to have so much cost there that it excludes it. And I know you're building facts that way, but I don't have any faith and trust in this whole deal. and I'm very upset about what you're trying to do.
My name is Tom Harney, and I'm from Cayucas. I moved here in 1982 after I retired in Silicon Valley. And I've never seen anything like this come through. It's a total scam. There is no question about it. I don't know who of you are qualified or if you figure you belong to the Sierra Club, and that qualifies you for it. Because I've gone to the first meetings, and Sierra Club was floating through the rooms. And I can tell you, if you're an environmental wacko, keep it to yourself, not to the public. We are not an incorporated entity. Cayucas is a district of the county. We are not a township. We're not a little town or anything else of that nature. I'm so disgusted with this situation. I don't have much longer to live because I have outlived my actuarial sights, way outlived. And I hope I'm gone by the time you quit raising the rates.
Hi. My name's Bill Almas. I'm representing Chevron. And we'll be submitting some more detailed comments before the 30th. My comments are very brief and general. Fatal flaw analysis for alternative 15, which is the one-half mile up Toro Creek, specifically contains, that site contains significant resources from a natural resource standpoint. Probably first and foremost is the groundwater resource that exists. In 1988, the city of Morro Bay actually looked at that site for use as in to augment their drinking water to the city of Morro Bay. Even if you do assume an ocean outfall and a contained plant, the likelihood of over time, especially with a forced main, the possibility of leaks and that. That's it for now. Thank you very much.
Would anybody else like to participate in public comment?
Hi, I'm Laura Andes from Morro Bay, and I'm a, a potential homeowner, and so I'm here because I'm in escrow, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to buy a home, and I have no idea what's going on with our sewer, and this is very scary, and so I just want to comment that I hope that you are sort of representing the interests of the younger generations that are coming in and trying to buy property in a, obviously a very crippled state, and that we try to do what's right for everybody in the community, obviously the natural reserves we have, the environment that we have, trying to honor our residents and the natural environment and be costly and cost-effective in the long run. I think all of those things would be really great. So I'm trying to put my faith in you guys, even though I hear a little bit from the crowd that maybe it's not warranted, but I'm hoping that you guys can really represent well and do right by the citizens of Morro Bay and Cayucas. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dan Glessman from Morro Bay. And my concern is about the additional costs that would be entailed in alternate sites. The July 1st, 2014 sewer charge portion of the water sewer bill is presently set at $51.77 minimum for resident users. If we move, 5 or 6 years of work must be duplicated. How much is that? I have heard as a rule of thumb, $1 million of additional cost would add an additional $1 per month to the bill. And I know that once the total design, the permit, the land acquisition, and piping costs are determined for an alternate site, you also must count on the financing. An extra $20 million, say at 4% for 20 years, is another $9 million. As part of this process, I encourage you to inform the ratepayers, both residential and commercial, how much per month an alternate siting will cost them. Particularly in the commercial area where we're a tourist economy, the motels and restaurants, are pretty price sensitive in their competition with their other locations. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
My name's Homer Alexander. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm also concerned about the additional cost of moving the plant to a new site. Since the alternative sites are on private property, I would hope that as part of the fine screening process, someone determines whether or not the owners are willing sellers. If they are not, and the JPA would be forced to acquire the property through other means, the JPA could be exposed to significant legal costs. I feel this is especially important since one of the preferred sites is owned by the 10th largest corporation in the world. If Chevron really doesn't want a sewer plant on their property, they have the resources to drag the JPA through the courts for months or even years. Thank you.
John Diodati, Morro Bay. I had the privilege of touring the Las Flores landfill in Santa Maria last week. It is a project that the city of Santa Maria undertook starting in about 2001. And in 2005, they completed an alternatives analysis similar to what we're doing, and the very next year purchased 1,700 acres from the Chevron Corporation. And in my opinion, it's a flagship project. It's called the Las Flores Integrated Waste and Recreational Facility, and it has miles upon miles of equestrian trails, hiking trails, bicycling trails, beautiful views and vistas, and I'm happy to see that the Chevron representatives are here tonight, because I think just in our own backyard, we have an excellent example of a cooperative relationship between a very large corporation and a small community.
Good evening. My name is Glenn Siloway. I'm also from Morro Bay. And like some of the previous people who've commented here, I'm also concerned about costs. My concern about costs is that you look at the total life cycle costs of this facility. A number of people commented a couple meetings ago about this, and the comments were, we would like to see some of the background assumptions and analysis in this work. There are a lot of people in this community who can evaluate this independently, so I hope that Dudek and the city and the JPA will make it available. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for your work. I know this represents a lot of time and a lot of energy, and I do respect that. I'm Jane Heath, and I'm also a resident of Morro Bay. I also am concerned about the cost of this project, but I'm concerned about something more in the line of the earlier speaker. Whatever anybody thinks about whether global warming is affected or caused by humans, the fact is that sea level rise is real. And the plant where it currently is situated is about as close to the water as you can get without being in it. And I assure you that everything I have seen, and I know you have looked at the same data, indicates that during the life of this plant, seawater rise is a significant concern. I'm concerned about this because I live in Morro Bay and because I intend to continue to live in Morro Bay. And I'm very much concerned about the young people that we're encouraging to come into our community. They are the lifeblood and they are the future of this community. They want to raise their children here. If we're going to pay 30, 40, however many million dollars for this plant, I want to be sure that these young families that are buying their homes and taking care of their children here in Morro Bay aren't rebuilding this plant or building it again 15 years from now. That's my concern. If we're going to look at the life cycle of this plant, and again echoing that this current plant is over 50 years old, do your work well. Great. If you can build a plant that lasts 50 years, I'm really excited about that. But I don't need that. All I need is that we're not doing this again in 10 or 15 years and putting it on the backs of these young people that very much need, that we very much need for the future of Morro Bay. Thank you.
Bob Swain, Morro Bay. I just have a couple questions. Now, when we did the site analysis, for instance, the current site, we do composting there. And if we have to enlarge that site, we're going to lose our composting availability. And that gives us some stability as far as instead of shipping it out to other counties, we can keep it and compost it within our own county. And it gives, like I say, more control over what we do ourselves. And if we have to ship it out, that's a lot of cost we're going to add to this. So I wonder if we take it into consideration our composting availability. We need sites big enough that where we can do that, make the composting. I think tertiary water is very important, like it's been brought up a bunch of times. Sell it to the agricultural lands and to parks and watering of the parks net. So I think we need to consider all those facts, and composting is very important in that one. So I'd like you to consider that one also. Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you. I'm Walter Heath. I live in Morro Bay. I think you're hearing some things here that were criteria that weren't considered as part of the REF screening analysis that probably would have reduced the score of the current site. And so I think what you're getting here from public response is that you've started with an inauthentic process, and that's not a good place to start. So I'd ask you to, moving forward, just be aware of the fact that we've got some smart people here, and they've got their eyes on this, and you need to be a little more careful. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jack McCurdy. I'm from Morro Bay. I have three comments. Two comments are about the format of the workshop. First of all, it's listed on the face page of the Morro Bay City website as starting at 8 o'clock. Secondly, the June workshop began with time for attendees to circulate to the four workstations and familiarize themselves with the various aspects of the issue. This time, the format starts with a presentation. If you're late, as I was a few minutes, you miss a very important of that presentation. That's very unfortunate. Thirdly, this is not a real economic analysis. It does not take into account the economic benefits to the city from removing the plant from its present location and using that very valuable area for significant economic benefit, such as visitor serving, as the Coastal Commission staff explicitly made a point.